You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Well, welcome to Church Online. It's so good to be with you. Welcome, church family. Hey, if you're joining us for the first time, my name's Jeremy. I'm the lead pastor here. We're so glad you're with us. Church, I hope you're doing well. I hope you're taking care of yourself. I hope you're staying connected to the church family. Just know that we're praying for you, we're thinking of you, and we're here for you. And we're just so glad that we can be together at this time online. Hey, just before we get into the message, I want to invite you to join us this Friday. We're going to have a special Good Friday service for 7 o'clock. It's going to be a beautiful time of worship. I'm going to be sharing a message, and we're actually going to receive communion together. So join us for that. And then Sunday morning, Easter Sunday, we're going to have a great morning of celebrating the resurrection. Three services for 9 o'clock, 10:30, and noon will be live streaming. So go ahead and spread the word. You can share on Instagram and Facebook. Help us invite some people, and let's just have an amazing time together as we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord online together for Easter Sunday. So I want to wish you a blessed Holy Week. And speaking of Holy Week, today is Palm Sunday. Today is the day when we remember and celebrate the day that Jesus was welcomed into Jerusalem as a king. And the scripture tells us that Jesus came riding gently and humbly on a donkey. And this reminds me that Jesus is a different kind of king. He's a prince of peace, not just a king who rules over us, but a king who is with us. Come on, we know Jesus' name is Emmanuel. He's God with us. And so today, I want to talk to you about how Jesus is with us. Come on, how many of you could use a message right about now? Just a good reminder that God is with you. He's with you in this season of life that we find ourselves in. That's what I want to talk to you about. So, you know, we're a few weeks into quarantine right about now. And I think the reality of the situation has dawned on us that we're going to be in this for a while, that this thing hasn't just come and gone and hasn't passed as quickly as most of us would have liked for it to have passed. And so we're in this. And how do we experience the peace of God when God isn't answering our prayers on our timetable? How many of you have noticed that God is not answering prayers on your timetable? I prayed that we would be out of this a long time ago. I was hoping we could be back together in person by Easter. That's not going to happen. And, you know, I'm seeing all of these motivational memes on social media right now about having faith over fear. And that's so true. We're going to talk a little bit about that today. But how do we really experience that? How do we experience peace if we're still feeling anxious, like no matter what we try? I mean, it's not like we can just psych ourselves up and manufacture some sense of artificial peace. What do we do when we're going through a difficult season and God seems silent? Some of you are experiencing that right about now. And I want us to take a look at a passage of scripture where the disciples were experiencing that very thing. It's a portion of scripture from Matthew, from Mark chapter 4. We're going to look at Mark's version, Mark chapter 4. And it's one of my favorite scriptures. If you've been around Redemption for any length of time, it's the story of Jesus calming the storm. And so the scripture starts off, Jesus has been preaching to like the crowds, the multitudes, from a boat on the Sea of Galilee. And then he gets in the boat with the disciples and they run into the storm. Let's take a look at this. Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 38. That day when evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took Jesus along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. Verse 37, a furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Look at verse 38. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" So here are the disciples. They're on the Sea of Galilee. They run into this squall. Now, I've been to the Sea of Galilee. In fact, I was there in the Holy Land with my dad a couple years ago. There's a picture there on the screen of me and my dad sailing out on the Sea of Galilee. And the Sea of Galilee, it's really a lake, but it's like a bowl. It's surrounded by mountains. And what happens is that cool air comes off the Mediterranean Sea. It's drawn through these narrow passes through these mountains, and it clashes with this warm air, this warm, humid air over the Sea of Galilee, and it can produce these really violent squalls that come up rather quickly, and that's exactly what's happening here. And so look at this in verse 38. Where was Jesus? Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" So the disciples are freaked out. Jesus is asleep. They're thinking, "We are going to die." Now, it's really easy to judge the disciples for their lack of faith. In fact, I've heard many preachers kind of be tough on the disciples when they preach this passage of scripture. But if you've ever been caught in a storm at sea, it's terrifying. See, I've been there before. I can actually relate to this. I grew up sailing with my dad and my brothers on Lake Pontchartrain, right outside of New Orleans. My dad had a 20-foot fiberglass sailboat. There's a picture of it there for you. And it's been battle-tested because my dad has been through some storms. See, the Lake Pontchartrain is a lot like the Sea of Galilee. It's a shallow lake, and it's very susceptible to sudden storms that come up, and they get really bad really fast. And let's just say my dad has a bad habit of not checking the weather before going out sailing. He's been caught in storms so bad that one time my mom called the Coast Guard to rescue my dad. And they said, "Lady, are you crazy? We're not going out in that weather." So one time when I was a kid, we had had a beautiful day of sailing, and we were just coming in. We weren't too far from the harbor. We were right off the seawall, and we'd had a really nice day, and quite suddenly, the weather turned, just like what happened to the disciples here. It went from being sunshine and kind of calm seas to a squall came up. It got dark. The clouds came out. It got windy. It was raining. It was lightning. And we were caught in a storm. And I was scared. My dad was running around tying things off, trying to tie off the sails. I was pretty sure he was going to fall off the boat and into the water and die. And he tried to get his little outboard motor started, but it wouldn't start up. Hey, there's a reason he's a sailor. And we couldn't get the motor started. And we were being blown toward the seawall. How many of you know fiberglass sailboat plus concrete seawall is not a good combination? I'm gonna tell you, I was scared. And my Pentecostal training kicked in. Come on, I was praying. I got right with Jesus. I got saved, delivered, filled with the Holy Ghost. Like I was ready to meet my maker. Well, thankfully I said, "Dad, throw down the anchor." And he put down the anchor and it stuck. And we were safe. But I'm gonna tell you, I can relate to the disciples because that is a terrifying experience. Now, think about this for a moment. Jesus allowed the disciples to endure the storm for a while, for a season. He could have woken up at any moment, at any point in time, and calmed the storm, but he didn't. And let me just tell you, a few moments in a storm, it seems like an eternity. Get this. These were Jesus' disciples. These were men who had dropped everything to follow him, and yet it seemed like Jesus wasn't coming to their rescue, and that shook their faith. That shook their faith. Let me ask you this question, church. Have you ever been caught in a storm and it seemed like God was sleeping? Some of you feel that way right about now, right? Like, "Hey, God, we could use some help down here. We got a global pandemic going on. Can you just help us out just a little bit?" I think most of us can relate to this story right about now. And look at verse 38. Here's what they said. "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" Not, "Jesus, can you do something about this? Can't you do something about this?" But, "Don't you care?" And isn't that the question that we ask in seasons like this? Like, "God, don't you care? Don't you see my situation? Don't you see that I've got family members, loved ones, friends who are sick with this virus right now? Like, don't you see that I'm laid off of work and the bills are still due? Like, don't you see what's happening to my retirement account right about now? I had plans. Like, don't you see what's happening to me?" And so the disciples, they don't necessarily doubt that Jesus had the ability to do something about the storm. They doubt that he actually cares, that he's actually in it with them. Let me just tell you this. Faith is ultimately about what we believe to be true about the character of God. Faith isn't so much about what we believe God can do. Oh, that's part of it. But ultimately, at the heart of it is what we really believe about who God is. In this season right now, when we're experiencing this storm, do we trust God? Do we trust who he is? Do we trust his sovereignty, that he's in control? Can we trust that he's still a good God, even though he's allowing us to go through some stuff? Let me just tell you this. You find out what your faith is really made out of when you're in a storm. You don't find out what your faith is made of when you're on dry land. You find out what you really believe about God, his character, who he is when you're in the midst of a storm. And so the disciples were being tested. So let's look at the rest of the story. Here are the disciples. They're in this storm, in this squall. They're freaked out. They're afraid they're going to drown. They're going to die. And Jesus is just sleeping and letting them go through it. And here's what it says. Mark chapter 4, verse 39 through 41. He got up. Jesus got up. He rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to the disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." And let me just make a few observations here. Notice what Jesus says to the disciples after he calms the storm. Amazing miracle, right? Jesus speaks to the storm and it's quieted and it stops. But look at what he says to the disciples in verse 41. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Now, once again, it's really easy to pick on the disciples. We can say, come on, you know, how could the disciples not have more faith? They had Jesus Christ, the Son of God, you know, with them right there in the boat. It's easy to pick on the disciples, but I don't think Jesus was saying that the disciples really had no faith at all. I think he was using a little bit of hyperbole here, a little bit of exaggeration. Remember, these were men who had given up everything to follow Jesus. They had put their lives on hold to travel with Jesus, to do life in ministry with Jesus. These were men of faith. These were people of faith. But at this moment, they were overwhelmed by fear. And I think if we're honest, the disciples are a lot like us. We consider ourselves to be people of faith. Most of us, if you're a follower of Christ, right, you've placed your faith in Christ. You trust in him. You trust in who he is. But there are some moments in life where we just get overwhelmed by fear. We experience this too. And so here's what I want you to know. It's possible for us to experience fear and faith at the same time. Come on, how many of you know that's true? It's possible for us to experience fear and faith at the same time. I believe the disciples, they had enough faith to know that Jesus could do something. There's a reason they woke him up. There's a reason they woke him up and said, "Jesus, come on, you got to do something." I think they believed that he could do something. They had some faith, but they didn't like Jesus' timing, that's for sure. Come on, let's just be honest. When we're in a storm, when we're in a season like we're in right now, a lot of times we don't like God's timing. I think we believe he can do something, but it's kind of like, God, where are you in the middle of this situation? And some of you, you might be struggling with this idea, like, can fear and faith really exist at the same time? Well, have you ever read the Psalms before? Have you ever read the Psalms? So many times the psalmist expresses a sense of fear and faith at the same time. I mean, you read the Psalms, right? Like, God, my enemies are closing in on me. If you don't show up really soon, they are going to kill me. I am being shaken. Yet will I trust in you, O God, my rock and my redeemer. Like the psalmist is all over the place, right? Like schizophrenic, like from fear to faith, because that's real life. That's our experience in life, isn't it? We go through times where we're experiencing both fear and faith at the same time. For many of us, that describes your situation right now. You're a person of faith. You're doing everything you can to hold on to faith, but yet you still find yourself battling fear and anxiety. It's part of being a human being. So what do we do? What do we do when we're in a season, when we're in a storm, and we're experiencing both fear and faith? Both are present in our lives at the same time. I want to give you a few ideas that you can put in your notes today. Number one, you got to fix your focus. Come on, turn to somebody in your living room, preach to them, say, you got to fix your focus. If you're in the comments, just leave me a comment. Just preach to somebody in the comments and say, you got to fix your focus. You got to fix your focus because what you focus on grows. What you focus on grows. If you focus on the wind and the waves and the circumstances that are swirling all around you, then fear will grow in your life. If you focus on Jesus, if you get laser focused in on him, then faith is going to grow. Remember the story of the Apostle Peter, when he walked on water. Amazing story, right? Like Jesus comes out to the disciples and Peter gets out of the boat and he walks on water momentarily. And he was fine as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus. But what did he do? The scripture says when he saw the wind, when he looked around at the circumstances, everything that was swirling around him, he began to sink. Like, Jesus, you gotta save me. I'm gonna drown here. What happened? He took his eyes off of Jesus. And he became overwhelmed by fear. And that's what happens to us. I love what the British minister Selwyn Hughes once wrote. He said, "The cure for a little faith is always a bigger vision of Jesus, the cure for little faith. Sometimes you just got little faith. The cure for little faith is always to have a bigger view of Jesus, who he is. And so if you focus on your problems, they're going to get bigger. If you read about the coronavirus like nonstop, if you get sucked into Twitter conspiracies, if all you do is think about all day long how bad the economy could get, you're going to experience fear and anxiety. Sometimes you just got to walk away from the whole thing. But if you focus on Jesus, who he is, his goodness, his mercy, his faithfulness, his grace, his love, his power, his ability, then you're going to experience a sense of peace because Jesus is going to get bigger and your problems are going to get smaller. That's what happens when we pray. The Apostle Paul says we can experience a peace that passes all understanding when we pray. Sometimes we're just tempted to worry about everything. We got to pray about everything, be anxious about nothing. With thanksgiving, begin to thank God for his faithfulness. Begin to recount the times when God was faithful in your life. That's how you experience peace. So fix your focus on him. Here's another idea. Number two, remember who's in control. Come on, church, in this season right now, we have to remember, we have to know who's in control. See, we don't like storms because we can't control them. Like, we hate this pandemic that we're experiencing right now because we can't control it. We found out really early on that we cannot control the circumstances right now. It doesn't matter how much toilet paper you buy. It doesn't matter how much you stock up on groceries. We've all found that, like, many of our plans haven't worked out because we're not in control. The disciples didn't like this situation because they weren't in control. They were fishermen. Some of them were fishermen. They were used to being out on the lake and being in a boat, and they were used to being in control, but they didn't like being caught in a squall when circumstances were outside of their control. Furthermore, they were upset that in the middle of all of it, Jesus was at peace. They really didn't like that. Come on, have you ever been upset about something? And you were freaking out about something and you were telling somebody, a friend or a family member or a loved one, and they didn't get freaked out like you and it made you even more upset. Like, come on, wives, have you ever come home and there was something you were really upset about with the kids and you were telling your husband and he was just kind of like, you know, no big deal. And you were upset because he wasn't getting upset like you. This is what we do. And this is exactly what the disciples were doing right here. They wanted Jesus to be freaked out just like them. They weren't happy that Jesus was asleep in the middle of all this. And in some ways, deep down, we're just like the disciples. Some ways, deep down, I think we're a lot like that in the situation we're in right now. Like, hey, God, haven't you noticed that planet Earth, like humanity, is freaked out right now? Because I don't think you're really freaked out, because if you were, you'd be doing something right about now. I think secretly, we subconsciously, we're feeling that. If God was nearly as freaked out about this whole situation as we are, he would be doing something. And so here's Jesus. He's resting in the midst of a storm. He's asleep. He's at perfect peace. Why? Why? How could he experience that peace? Because he was in perfect unity with the Father. He knew God the Father had him. He knew Father God was in control of the situation. And Jesus had a different perspective. He had peace because he had a different perspective than the disciples. Your peace is connected to your perspective. When you're in a storm, your peace is connected to your perspective. And so Jesus could see beyond the storm. That's faith. Faith is having a different perspective. It's a divine perspective. Have you ever known someone who was a great person of faith, who was calm in the midst of a really anxious situation? Some of you have someone like that in your life. Maybe it's an elderly person, a grandparent or a parent, and they just have peace. Like right now, in the middle of this coronavirus situation, they're the person who should be most freaked out because they're actually susceptible to this virus, yet they have a peace, and here you are, you're a lot younger than them, and you're freaked out. Why is that? Because they have a different perspective. They've lived enough life. If they're a person of faith, they've trusted God throughout enough seasons of their life, and they have a different perspective. My parents are like that. My parents are in the category of people who need to be concerned about this virus, but they've been through enough. They've been through enough seasons where they've had to trust God. And so they have a peace. They're being smart, but they have a peace about this whole situation. Now, theologians tell us this. They describe it this way. They tell us that God is both immanent and transcendent. What does that mean? God is immanent in that we can experience his presence. He comes to us in the form of his son, Jesus Christ, who walked on this planet, right? He's God with us. That's God's immanence. We can encounter his presence. Yet he's also transcendent. That's the part of God where he's God over all of the universe. He's God over all of creation. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. present. He's transcendent. And so we see this in the life of Jesus. He was fully divine and yet fully human. He was human. He's walked in our shoes. He's experienced what we've experienced. He knows what it is to experience the full range of human emotions, even loss, even death, right? He's with us, yet he's also the Son of God. He's divine. He's transcendent. So he's perfectly able to understand our situation and to relate to us, but he doesn't get sucked into it. He's above it. Come on, how many of you know we don't need God to get sucked into it? Can you imagine if Jesus got freaked out and overwhelmed by your problems? No, we need a God who's in it with us. When you're facing a storm, we need a God who's in it, but he's also above it. He's able to see past it. And that's what Jesus had. Jesus had a different perspective. He could see beyond the storm. We need a God who can see beyond the storm. We don't need a God who gets overwhelmed by our prayers, who hears all of our prayers and our worries and says, oh my gosh, that's really bad. You really should be freaked out right about now. No, we need a God who's sovereign, a God who's in control and who can see past the storm because he has a different perspective. The psalmist says that he's the God who's above the storm. He hovers over the turbulent waters. Now, some of you would say, that's really great, Pastor Jeremy. I hear you. I appreciate the motivational talk, but I'm not really a great person of faith like your parents or my grandparents who have trusted God through many, many seasons. And I've been praying, but the waves are crashing in. Like Pastor Jeremy, I'm taking on water right about now. I don't know how long I can hold on to faith. Like I'm really scared. And every day I'm feeling really overwhelmed and I've got bills and I've watched my retirement account dwindle and I'm worried about getting sick. I'm worried about my loved ones getting sick. Like I feel a lot like the disciples right now. Don't just give me a motivational speech. Like, give me something to hold on to. What do we hold on to? What do we hold on to when we're in a storm and it feels like God is silent, like he's not speaking? Here's what we hold on to. You know that God is with you. Here's the third thing. Know that God is with you. You may not hear his voice right now. You may not see him doing what you want him to do, but know that God is with you. Come on, right now, we all love the worship song, Waymaker, and we sing the bridge of that song, right? Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. It sings really good, but can we really live this out? Do we really believe the words of that song? God, even when I don't see it, especially when I don't see it, I know you're working. Even when I don't feel it, when my emotions aren't telling me you're working, God, can I really trust that you're working, that you're really with me? Let me just tell you something, church. Jesus never jumped ship. Jesus never jumped ship. He was in it. He was in the storm. He was in the boat. He allowed the disciples to go through it for a season. We don't always understand why sometimes God allows us to go through it. Come on, sometimes you go through it. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Sometimes we're going to go through it, but the reality is he's always with you. We hold on to this promise. God has said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And so there was some wind, there was some waves, there were some terrifying emotions. Jesus may have been calm. He may have been quiet. He may not have been acting on the disciples' timetable, but he was always with them. Church, you got to know he's with you. When we don't know what else to hold on to, we hold on to the presence of God. Faith is not always believing for a miracle. Sometimes it's just knowing that God is with you. I don't think the point of this story is that Jesus is always going to miraculously show up and speak peace instantly to all of your storms. Sometimes he's going to do that. I think the greater truth of this story is that God is with you, even when he's silent. Even when he's not working on your timetable, the greatest miracle is the miracle of the strength of God's presence keeping you, holding you during a time when there's distress. And so I've discovered that I can get through just about anything if I know that God is with me. I can get through just about anything if I can just hold on to a sense of God's presence. Church, let me just tell you something. Jesus sees our storm. He sees your current situation. He sees the worry, the doubt, the fear, the anxiety, and he's with you. He's with you. Don't feel like a second-rate Christian. If you've experienced both faith and fear at the same time, know that the people of God have experienced that for generations. Know that the disciples experienced that, and God is with you. See, our problem is we tend to think and feel like God is with us in the good times, on the mountaintops, on dry land, when there's no storm, when things are good. We tend to feel like that's when God is with us. And when we're in a storm, we tend to feel like God has abandoned us. No. You got to know that that's the time that God is most working in your life. The psalmist said God is close to the brokenhearted. Like, that's when you have to know that God is with you. He hasn't abandoned you just because things have gotten difficult. Sometimes a storm provides the best opportunity for God to do his work in us. God has done some of his best work in your life when you were in a storm. Why? Because you were more tuned into him. You were more dependent on him. Come on, we talk about faith. We amen the sermons about faith. We sing songs about faith. But let's be honest, our human default is to trust in ourselves. But storms put us in situations where the circumstances are beyond our control. And that's where you really learn to trust in him, to trust in him. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. So many times we just pray our storms away. We pray our storms away. Like, as soon as they come, God, get me out of this right now. And we know what James said in James chapter 1. We've all heard the scripture where he says, count it all joy when you endure trials of many kinds, knowing that the testing of your faith, it produces endurance. Like, we know that scripture, but we don't like that scripture because there's nothing natural about counting it all joy when you're in the midst of a storm. But this is how you build endurance. And so many times our only inclination is to pray the storm away when God is doing his best work in your life in the midst of the storm. Come on. How do you learn to trust God if you've never been in a situation where you're utterly dependent on him? How do you learn that God is your healer if you weren't in a situation where you needed him to touch you and to heal you? How do you know that God is your protector if you weren't walking through a situation where you needed him to provide protection? How do you really learn that he's your way maker unless you need a way made? No, storms are the time when we build our faith. Storms are the seasons where we grow, where we really learn to trust in him. You would have never learned to trust in him if you hadn't gotten through some stuff, but you have. You survived. You're here. You're still going. Can you imagine how this miracle affected the disciples' faith? I mean, they had seen Jesus do some miracles. They had been with him. They had seen him lay hands on the sick, but they had never seen anything like this. Jesus speaking to a storm. I mean, they really saw him as the Son of God, the God of all creation. You see that in their reaction. Can you imagine? Like, I like to just kind of fill in the story, to fill in the blanks sometimes. Like, I would imagine they could never be the same. I would imagine their faith level was never the same after what they saw Jesus do. Can you imagine in the times of persecution? Because we know that the disciples, most of them went on to die for the sake of the gospel. They were martyred, all except one. Can you imagine the times when their minds flashed back in the storms of life as they were preaching the gospel and going out and spreading the kingdom of God in the midst of their persecution? Can you imagine the times that their minds went back to this story and they found peace in knowing that he's the God who's above the storm, that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the God over all of the universe, and he had them. He was with them. Let me just tell you something, church. We're in a storm right now. We're all in a storm right now. We're all feeling it in different ways. We're all affected in different ways. Our family, our loved ones. We've had people in our church family this week who have come down with the virus, and we've been praying for them. We've got people who have financial needs. We've got people who are really struggling with anxiety. We've got people who are sick who can't get out and get groceries for themselves. And we're looking after each other. We're taking care of each other. But we're all in this storm right now together. But I want you to know, we're all aware of the problems, but I want you to also, through the eyes of faith, know that this storm is also an opportunity. I'm not belittling the fear. I'm not belittling the loss and the sickness, but know that through the eyes of faith, this is also an opportunity to build a living testimony. Church, a living testimony. Some of you, you know the sermons. You know the Sunday school lessons. You can sing the songs, but this is the time that God is building a living testimony that's going to cover you, that's going to carry you for years to come. You're going to go back to the season and say, God, I learned to trust you like never before. God, I learned that you are my protector. You are my provision. You are my healer. God, I learned to trust your presence like never before. And you're going to come out of this with a living testimony. Your life is going to be a testimony to someone else. Your faith is going to speak to someone else. Your story is going to bless someone else. Church, this is the time. This is the time to know that God is with you. with you. He's working in you. Even when you can't see it, he's working. Even when you don't hear his voice, even when he's not doing things on your timetable, he's working in your life and he's building a living testimony that is your life right now. Come on, let's just pray together right now in this moment of faith. Father, we thank you so much that you're with us in this season. God, you're with us even in the midst of a storm. God, I thank you that you're close to the brokenhearted. God, you're close to us in these times. God, even when we can't hear your voice, even when we don't see you working on our timetable, God, I thank you that you're with us. You never leave us. You never forsake us. God, help us today. Help us to have a different perspective, to look to you, that Jesus, you would get bigger and our problems would get smaller, that you would build our faith in this season, that we would know you are in control. And God, to recognize with the eyes of faith that this isn't just a season of problems, but it's a season of opportunity. And God, you're using it to build our faith, to make us more like you, to give us a living hope, a living testimony. Father, I speak peace to the hearts of your people right now. We receive it into our lives in Jesus' name. If you receive that, would you say amen?
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our church, please visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you can listen or join us next week.